back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into almost the quarter pole. As I've said all week, we're approaching the quarter pole of the NFL season, but certainly approaching the beginning of the beginning, maybe the first inning, a little baseball reference there, of our Maryland Crab Cake Tour. We'll be at Coco's this Friday with Mayor Brandon Scott. I'm trying to put that one together for like 6 months. He's actually been chasing me around the city, so we're looking forward to sitting him down with him on Friday. If you have some questions, you can throw them over to me, ness@baltimorepositive.com. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. Let yourself play. Certainly the Ravens did plenty of playing out in Denver. Good news final, coming home 3-1, head full of nice things in first place. I thought it'd be a great time to check in with some of my local media friends. And I don't know, man, I don't get to see my media buddies anymore because we're all getting Q-tips stuck up our nose and we come in and we have the masks. And Sean Stepner and I don't get together and talk Caps hockey as much as we used to. He's over Channel 2. You can follow him out on Twitter or at news conferences asking John Harbaugh probing questions. What's going on, dude? 3-1. I don't know that we could expect a better outcome than where we are with the Ravens. Have an extra day of rest this week. We don't even have to hate on the Colts the way old guys like me tend to.
Yeah. Hey, Nestor, good to join you. Yeah. I mean, 4 games, 3-1, can't knock it. And Sunday's game in Denver, definitely not as of a nail-biting finish as the first three. I think Ravens fans, the only things they were worrying about were the rushing record, the consecutive game 100-plus yard rushing record when you got to the fourth quarter. That's what they were worried about.
A thing they had never heard about in their lives, right? Like, literally.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And they risk 11 guys at the end running a stupid play the other team wasn't prepared for in the court. Like, I don't know, man. I mean, I love Harbaugh, and he's a great coach and like all that, but that's so Harbaughian to me. And the fact that we would sit around here and talk about that, and then there's the post-game comments in regard to barbaric. If I did sports radio this week, I wouldn't make through Monday morning. I couldn't do that all week long, especially when there's so much good football and meat on the bone. But they do serve this stuff up, don't they, for the media?
Well, there's plenty of storylines. Just put it that way. There's plenty to pick and choose from every week. There's plenty of storylines on and off the field. But when you come to that rushing record, look. I mean, I started thinking about that when Denver had their last drive, and you're thinking, even if they score and the Ravens get the ball back, anyway, the Ravens get the ball back, what are they going to do? And my first inkling was, I think John Harbaugh might go for this record. You know, I tweeted it out while Drew Locke and the Broncos were driving to make it closer. And my initial reaction, because I am kind of old school, you know, I'm 40 years old, but I still have that kind of old school mentality. And my first inclination was just kneel on the ball.
Yeah, what is old school? What is old? I'm not sure there's old school or new school. It's either you're sort of running it up and rubbing it in or not. And the Harbaughs rub it in. It's who they are. I mean, there's a long, long track record of, and you could call that bad sportsmanship, or you could say, hey, buckle up your chin strap. There's still time on the clock. F you. And that's who the Harbaughs are. And that's for better or worse. But I look at it, and it reminds me of Strahan chasing Favre around, and them, you know, sort of fudging a record. That I prefer my records to be real, not fudged. That's all.
Well, I mean, if you're going to go that route, and I haven't done this research yet, maybe I will. But if you're going to go that route, this is the 43rd game. How many of the previous 42 were like this game? I mean, we'll have to look it up. I mean, since this record started, but how many came down to the end, the game was out of reach, whether the Ravens were losing or the Ravens were winning, and they still got the record? Maybe someone should research that. But back to the point,
I just don't care about the record. You know what I mean? And I don't know why they're so concerned about it.
So back to my original point, I was kind of thinking like, man, you should kneel on this. But if you believe Harbaugh and what he said after the game, and he did it for his players to remember, and you know, he did it for the offensive linemen who never get, you know, it's a feather in their cap for their career to say that they were a part of it. If you believe Harbaugh and that it mattered to those guys and he wanted to get it for those guys, then maybe it was the right call because he has the pulse of his team. Now, Do you believe Harbaugh wanted to do it for his players, or he wanted to do it for himself and his coaching staff and his resume? That's a debate. Will we ever find out? Who knows?
Well, either way, they're 3-1. They're pretty good. The league is a little weird and chippy, even amongst all the Brady hype on Sunday night and all of that. Browns worry me. You know, they're winning games they never used to win. I think the Bengals are better, and we'll see them in a couple of weeks. But for where the Ravens are, and I said this at halftime on Sunday, you give me a 10-point lead on the road in Denver, 2-1, chance to go to 3-1, beginning on the road, two West Coast games, you know, in there, a Detroit game. You thought the Chiefs was a loss when the schedule came out, and somehow you won. There is no big bad wolf anymore with the Chiefs or the Steelers. I mean, the Colts hobbling here this week. The Chargers, you know, I'm wearing my Coons Ford shirt here. I should plug the WNST Coons Ford tech service, but I'm not a Charger fan, but they look to be as impressive as anyone at this point. So we're going to see them in a couple of weeks, but I'm looking at the schedule saying, all right, Miami, Chicago, we don't get on a plane to go to Miami for 6 weeks. It's they're really into some feel goods after every night you were going on the news over at Channel 2 and saying, who's going to the infirmary, who's lost for the season, because there was a whole lot of that for a week or two of sort of this dark cloud following the team around. Sky looks pretty Coons Ford Charger blue right now, Sean, I think.
Yeah, and especially having three road games to start out your season at some pretty tough places and what turned out to be pretty tough games, and they're 3-1. And you know, I have the schedule right in front of me, and you know, when the schedule came out, and I still break it down like this, I broke it down into really like four parts and not like four equal parts. You know,
you can't do that, because 17 is a prime number, and they,
well, I'm saying like not even like close to equal, but you know, I broke it out into these four games that we just had. Right. And then you have four straight home games. I mean, how often does that happen in the NFL
when you with a bye week,
bye week? I mean, and then, you know, the kind of the outliers at Miami, at Chicago, and then
Those are bad football teams that we weren't completely sure were bad. I mean, once we get to this sort of quarter poll, we can say who's good and who's bad. I mean, clearly Arizona's good, right? I mean, you know, you don't get to that point, but you know, clearly Pittsburgh's bad. You know, and Pittsburgh has some problems, and so there is a change of the balance of what this used to look like when you're like, oh my God, Cleveland, Pittsburgh at the end of the year, Cincinnati maybe the other team you're worried about.
That's my last portion of the schedule. You know, after, you know, that's the fourth portion that I broke it up into the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 games. You know, that's the meat of your division schedule right there. The end of the year.
Well, you can't lose 3 out of 4 there, right? You just can't.
Starting November 28th. I mean, it's 2 against Cleveland, Pittsburgh and a Cincinnati, and sprinkle in the rest. I mean, you have Los Angeles.
Then the Rams. The Rams is the last game. That's going to be, those are going to be two playoff teams squaring off.
Right. So, I mean, here you go. But as we mentioned, 3-1 after these games. And you know what I like, Nestor? These aren't the, you know, I started thinking this a couple of weeks ago. This isn't how the Ravens have won games in their franchise history. No longer is the defense the calling card. They played well against the Broncos. Give them that. But this team, now, this franchise is built around offense. And like it or not, the Ravens do have a good defense. You know it. I know it. And they can get better. But this team now wins games with Lamar Jackson and offense, and maybe not the running game anymore. Again, another calling card of this franchise has been the running game. Maybe not anymore. What Lamar and the Ravens did on Sunday against the Broncos should worry the entire National Football League, because you saw him pick apart the Broncos in the air. And I think it started really with the Detroit game. Save for the bonehead interception against late in the Detroit game, which he never should have thrown that ball. That was, I'm talking about the Lions game, arguably the best I've seen Lamar throw the football in his entire career.
And there was 100 yards left on the carpet with drop passes in that game.
Yes. If you put in Marquise Brown's catches, and potential touchdowns because they all, if they're caught, they're probably.
And also would have extended drives. I mean, he threw a touchdown pass to Andrews in this game this weekend that got called back, right? So things have been getting called back.
Yes. And, you know, so now you see him building his confidence. You see whatever he did in the offseason and in training camp for when he was there definitely worked. And he's starting to be an aerial threat like we haven't seen. He's always been, you know, this knock on Lamar that he can't throw the football and yada.
That's barbaric, Sean Stepner.
Right. Who said that?
I was waiting to use that, dude. I mean, it's early in the week and I got that one in. Barbaric's going to be the word of the week.
No question. But yeah, so now, look, Denver had a specific plan of attack. They wanted to stop the run. And they said, Lamar, try it. He did try it. And they were pretty successful doing it through the air. And so now, you know, when you're looking at this Ravens offense, if you're a defensive coordinator or the coaching staff of the opponent, I mean, it's going to worry you more than it did Sunday, the week before, or in the offseason, because now they can pick and choose their game going forward. I think this game gives them big confidence moving on to the rest of the season.
Sean Stepner joining us here from WMAR, where I once interned for Scott Garceau and Keith Mills and Jim Hawes. All those guys. Mike Gaffigan. I saw Gaffigan running around last weekend. I was up in Towson. If you missed our Maryland Crab Cake Tour stop at Nacho Mama's, make sure you're checking that out in our podcast audio vault and at the website. Sat down with Dr. Steve Elliott from Elliott Chiropractic Life. Had a great chat about rugby life, the life of Scunny. We ate Scunny's famous crab cake. I did not drink a Natty Bo. I'm just going to have to go back to Nacho Mama's in Canton or Mama's on the half shell and do that. What's up, Sean?
You know what is tragic? I say that in quotation marks. You're talking to a guy who's allergic to shellfish, a Maryland native who's allergic to shellfish.
What do you like to eat?
Can't eat crab, but listen.
Can you eat fish?
But the tragic part is that I developed the shellfish allergy in my mid-20s. So I know
how good it is.
Crabs are. My birthday is June 11th. Every year, my buddies and I, we would sit down and have a crab feast to celebrate my birthday and welcome the summer. It was.
You haven't had a crab in 20 years?
About 15 years. I haven't had a crab. So I know how good they are. I can't have them.
Dude, I'm so worried about that because I don't have any my wife has afflictions to all sorts of things. It's like cancer and like is diabetic, but we love food. You're not the only friend I have that has a shellfish allergy. I have other people that are allergic to various nuts and legumes and peanut allergies and whatnot. I don't know. I mean, I'm allergic to like this time of year, I would not go on a hayride with you. I mean, you know, no offense. It wouldn't have to be about romance or fun or scare. I don't dig on hay. I don't dig on cut grass so much. But like if there was food and if it was, especially if it was crab, it would really suck. But I'm just thinking like any food I really like I could be allergic to beets and not know it because I wouldn't eat them. You know what I mean?
Awesome. Yeah. Beets are great.
Beets?
Oh yeah.
The red things that taste like dirt.
Oh, man. They're a little sweet. You're eating the wrong beets, Nestor.
Yeah, my wife dumps all that vinaigrette all over it. Sean Stepner here from Channel 2. We'll get back to football here momentarily. On a nightly basis for you, and I just doing sports for a living and doing a job that, quite frankly, I grew up wanting to do, right? I wanted to be Jack Dawson. Moeller, I always kid him. He told everyone that would listen when I was 13 years old that I was going to be the next Chris Thomas. I don't know if that means anything to a Bowie kid. You're a little younger. Chris Thomas was a legend to people my age. It's Vince Bagley, sort of understudy, who was a bit of a wild man. He brought the Bob Irsay dummy on the set drunk and talked to it and interviewed it and stuff like that after the Colts left town. It was great. Oh, no, Chris was a legend. Ask any of the old school silver beards about Chris. So I want to ask you in the modern era, putting together a broadcast, and you know, I watch all of you guys from time to time. We flip around the dial. The Orioles, the Ravens, obviously what the Terps did before the other night. Boy, it's really nice when the Ravens are 3-1. And I don't even say that disrespectfully, just sort of on a daily basis. I used to put a newspaper together every night back in my childhood and got together with all of them down at the Guinness Brewery a couple weeks ago. There was so much sports, so much news that when you get 2 or 3 minutes at the top of the of your broadcast, the Ravens are like everything. And when they're not playing, I think it kind of sucks. No offense to lacrosse or hockey or any of the other things but there's something about the energy that this brings the city when they're 3-1 that they're not going to play for a week. But man, there's something you eat off it all week, and it's something that's really the pillar of our community in some way when we get to talk about this in the middle of the season.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the NFL, like it or not, is king. The NFL is king in, America. Whether the team is doing well or poorly, they haven't done too poorly as of late. People care about it. People want to know. And when you are a good team in the best league in the most popular sport in the U.S., I think people feed off that. I think people take pride in that. And you know what? And the Ravens.
And you can bet on it.
Soon in Maryland. Soon.
Well, I mean, I've been talking a lot about that. And that is like, that's the real underpinning of all this for people younger than us, is that it's not about Baltimore and I love Baltimore or I love the color purple. It's more tribal and more Betty. Even when as I watch it on TV, it caters to that more than it caters to, hey, I like football and this is how the Ravens run their offense. It's much more Betty in the people that I'm around. And when I'm in an airport hearing people talk about it, it's more like that than it is like sports radio was 20 years ago.
Fantasy sports, that really kicked it off. And now as more states, including all the states that border Maryland, make it legal to place wagers. That's, the NFL a few years ago were like gambling. Stay away, get away. Now, I mean, every team has a betting partner. Every team has a fantasy partner. And the ads are inside M&T Bank Stadium. When it becomes legal, one of the first places in Maryland that's going to have a sports book or at least places to put your wager down is M&T Bank Stadium. It's built into the gambling law in Maryland. Right now, they're still going through the licensing applications and licensing fees, but there are 17 brick-and-mortar places around Maryland, including Camden Yards and FedEx Field for Washington football team.
Including Greenmount Station, where we did the Maryland Crab Cake Tour 2 weeks ago. Yeah,
and Pimlico and Laurel. I mean, these places are going to be the first places to get the brick-and-mortar, freestanding places where—
A sports book.
You, me— I don't know how big the sports book's going to be. I mean,
we've all been to Vegas. I shouldn't say never. I played two or three sports bets in my life in Vegas to be a jackass on a Sunday. I was trapped there. I just have no, I'd rather play blackjack. I'd rather not gamble. I'm not as amused by all of it. I love sports because I love sports. I love sports because I like talking about teams and local and what it does to the community and how it makes us feel and how it operates and how it's managed. And I like all of that. And I have no teetotaling about the gambling thing or even the issues of some of my partner Don Moeller is people wreck their lives gambling, right? Like, and we talk about that with John Martin from the lottery every week about staying away from that sort of thing. I would just say for me, my addiction from my childhood has been to seeing the home team win. And I think that newscasts were built that way. Sean Steppner's here. The reason I even ask you about that is just how awful the Orioles are. Like, you're like a local kid, right? You remember like when you were really young, they were good. And then it all went away. But like to be 40 and like you and Luke are sort of contemporary and to have it be this bad, this long, at least I hope you had 5 minutes of Showalter 5 years ago, because that's the weird part for me, because the reason I dreamed of doing your job was to be at the ballpark every night with a stick mic talking to Mark Belanger or whatever. Right. And I've done this instead. But what you do, and certainly what I do, has changed from taking phone calls and doing all that stuff, the stuff I wanted to do. But the level of interest in the Orioles is, it's not depressing to me. I was predictive of this in how it all interacted. But 52 and 110 stands for what it is. And it's tough. I mean, and I think it's tough every night for you to put a sportscast on in May and June and July when it was meant for this. And it's certainly one of the reasons I steered my radio station and my career away from it, because I think if they're not trying, I don't know what the hell we can do to talk about it when they're trying to lose. And they did a pretty good job of trying to lose this year.
Yeah. So first point. So my channel two is a little different at WMAR. You know, my responsibility is like, we don't have a traditional sports cast every night or at 5 and 6, but what I do is try to just kind of get the pulse of Baltimore, you know, go around to different sports, whether it's Ravens, whether it's Terps, whether it's high school football, whether it's high school, I don't know, softball or lacrosse, or, you know, when the Brigade were in town, indoor football, or
find a story, tell a story, right?
Cricket. I mean, I'm more of a storyteller in the sports realm, and, you know, I'll put together a story or two every day. And so I don't necessarily have to put together,
read the highlights,
2.5, 4 minutes. Right. However, I will say this, the demand and the time that unfortunately for me, because I love baseball, I haven't done much Oriole stories since training camp started.
It's hard to find compelling, and they'll have compelling stories when Rodriguez comes up and Rutschman, like, that's fine. And that's good. Yeah. But in the meantime, wake me when it's over, because I didn't go to a game this year. And the night that Otani came in, not the night he pitched, cause he pitched the second night. The first night I was in the middle of the crab cake tours all over the state. And I put that night together thinking, all right, I'm going to call some of my a-hole buddies who haven't been to a game. This is an excuse to go see this kid play. He's going to run around the outfield, probably hit a home run, and he did. And it was 99 degrees that day, dude. It was August 22nd. I woke up that morning. My wife looked at me. She's like, no, dude. And I was supposed to be – I was at Fadley's that night having a crab cake Tom Perez, who loves baseball, loves Latin baseball, has Clemente and Pedro Martinez stuff all over his office and Big Poppy and all that. He didn't want to go to the game. And then I called Moeller. He didn't want to go. No, nobody wanted to go to the game. And I'm thinking to myself, this is a – imagine if it's the Tigers on a Thursday. Like I can see the stadium. I'm looking out the window right now at the stadium. And that's tragic to me, being an old settled guy here. I'm in my 50s now. And I don't know what's going to bring that back, because it's not going to be clap our hands and Adley Rutschman's going to show up. People are just going to pay $35 to sit on the roof. Because I think – I felt a little priced out when I looked. I'm like, it's $21 to go see – the Mets play on a Tuesday, like I on the roof. So I had a little bit of that, and I felt that at Merriweather when they're bringing me $18 beers, and I'm all okay with that. And they got to make their money, but they got to put something on the field that makes media guys want to go down and find a story that's not some quad A guy hanging on trying to pitch two innings tonight.
You know what? I think they realize that, and they are trying to put that together the right way. You know, and you, look, Orioles fans knew this was going to happen. They've never done this in their franchise history. Stock the farm system to win in 2 or 3 years, 4 years, maybe, you know, late
night. Well, Angelos didn't believe in it fundamentally. Know what I mean? Like, he fundamentally just didn't believe in it.
But look, I mean, this can go one or two ways. I mean, you have to, Elias and his crew have to get this right for it to work. You know, right now, the way Bowie's winning and, you know, the minors and the Stars coming up, it looks like right now it does have the feeling and the potential of something bubbling underneath the surface when you have Mullins and you have, you know, Mountcastle and you have, you know, Means if he stays on track and you have Austin Hayes reliable enough. I mean, this looks.
I wonder if they're going to pay Mancini to stay around for this, because he's a good kid.
They might not. And I hope he stays. But if he doesn't, we've heard and we've had hearts ripped out before. Fans have, you know, and we will continue to have it again. But if he stays, I hope he stays. If he doesn't, then, you know, what did Jerry Seinfeld say long ago? You know, you root for the laundry, you root for the laundry, right?
Well, you were torn, right? You were born an Orioles fan, but like born into like Nationals territory.
So like, I grew up in Bowie, and I loved the Orioles. It's funny. I just told my daughter, who's 8 and is playing softball, and she got to pick her number, and, you know, she picked number 8, and I said, wow, that's
Alex Ovechkin's number. Oh no, I'm sorry.
That, well, I go, you know, I was number when I grew up, I played hockey, I was number 5 for Rod Langway. When I played baseball, I was number 8 for Cal Ripken. And I said, wow, daddy was number 8. Did you know that? She goes, no. Why? I said, Cal Ripken Jr. He was one of the best baseball players of all time. Why did you pick number 8? She goes, Alex Ovechkin. So
there you go.
That was a proud moment. But I was born in Bowie, grew up a diehard Orioles fan. I always had this like inkling that, you know, it's more of a DC territory. So if Washington ever got a team, I would kind of maybe switch allegiances. And when they got a team, 05, I mean, the Orioles, you know what they were doing in the mid 2000s. And it was easy to switch
allegiances. They had such a cuddly owner, the Orioles. I mean, you know,
right. It was easy to switch allegiances. And double that, it was the Expos coming to Washington. My dad grew up in Montreal. Half my family's Canadian from Montreal. I always had a soft spot for the Expos. They were my National League team, while the Orioles were my AL team and kind of like my A number one. So the Expos come down. I became a Nationals fan. But I tell you, when I moved back here to get the job at MAR and come home.
What year was that, 18?
16.
Six. You've been here 6 years?
Yeah. Well, wow. five years. I mean,
wow.
So
I've been knowing you a long time, Stepner.
I know it's been a while. It feels like yesterday, but you know, when I came back and started going back around Camden Yards and seeing the orange and being around, I just felt that Orioles love come back. And,
when you got the gig, they were decent.
They were it was just the tail end, you know, it was right. the Toronto wild card,
but there was hope.
There was definitely hope, but I think they're doing it the right way, Nestor. I mean, but you have to hopefully Elias and crew get this right. I've seen tank jobs go wrong in other sports. You know, I grew up in Bowie. My first job was Hagerstown. And then I spent 8.5 years in Buffalo, and I covered the Sabres when they purposely tanked for a couple years to get Connor McDavid, who, went to the Oilers eventually, Edmonton. but the Sabres had the best odds at the draft lottery. They lost out. They got Jack Eichel instead, who is one of the best players in the league when healthy. Hockey fans know what I'm talking about. But they lost out on Connor McDavid. They got Jack Eichel. And that tank job did not work. They are still rebuilding, and they're still – and that was back in, I think, 14 or 15. So – you got to trust in Elias and company. They're going to do it right. Right now, it looks like, you know, baseball is a different animal than hockey, but it looks like it's bubbling up underneath the surface in the minor leagues. That relief is in sight.
Sean Stepner's here from WMAR. Remind everybody, all of our Wise Conversations brought to you by our friends at Wise Markets. It would be wise of you to get the Bell Garden sub if you're anywhere around the Beltway. Also, this month, doing a lot of stuff with kids and helping kids at school. We'll be telling you more about that at our Wise Conversations, all brought to you by our friends at Wise Markets. Last thing, I want to go back to football and just the Ravens and where this is. And look, I could have some fun with you and the Washington football team. I always bleed for the guys like you, the Boswells, I call them, that had to deal with Angelos and this Snyder situation. And Jack Kent Cook before that, like to be really honest. That's such a disgrace. I mean, I watched them run around with these numbers on their helmets. They look like Three Stooges. But the Ravens, for where they are at this point, 3-1, home for a month, playing some teams that I thought the Colts would be better than this. I think the Chargers are going to be okay, but I look at the rest of the schedule, and I do see them being a playoff team, and I'm thinking to myself, how can they continue to fortify the running game, and certainly what's going on the offensive line? If we're talking big picture, trying to figure out what that offensive line is going to be, that's what this next month's about. And even if there's drop balls or mistakes or they need 66-yard field goals, if they win, these are just good lessons learned as they try to become a better team into November, December, and get healthier, get the wide receiver back, get players back.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think how Alejandro Villanueva's knee feels is big part. I don't think Andre Smith is anywhere close to a starting right tackle or left tackle for the Ravens or in the league right now, you know, sadly for him. I think getting the running back situation figured out as well, who they're going to start, who they're going to give the majority of the carries to, because right now it's obvious Latavius Murray's the guy that they trust the most. I think Tyson Williams, you know, he's like a Gus Edwards type of guy. I mean, you put Tyson in, I mean, I think they get 100 rushing yards in the third quarter, because every time, it seems like every time he touches the ball, he's getting, you know, 5 or 6 yards. But I think the offensive line, like you said, the running back rotation, if you will, I don't think Le'Veon Bell's the answer. If he can't work in Kansas City with Mahomes and, you know, be serviceable for them, and we saw on Sunday what he did with Denver, I don't think he's the answer. But I also think that the defense and the linebacking situation, they have to get shored up as well. But look, I mean, before the season, you don't know what you have. Through four games, you know what you have. You know what to work on. And the Ravens inside the castle, they know what they need to do. And now it's time to, you know, put it on the field. And look, a lot of these teams that we thought were going to be good, you know, Indianapolis, Chicago, we thought might be better.
Miami.
Look, in another 4 or 5 weeks, the whole rest of the schedule could change. You know, we might have injuries elsewhere. We might have, you know, teams with momentum winning all of a sudden, you know, finding themselves in the middle portion of the schedule. We don't know. So look, let's have this conversation again in a month, and let's see what the schedule looks like, right?
As long as Lamar Jackson gets out and actually practices in the future, doesn't have a bad back, I think they'll have a chance no matter who their left tackle is. Sean Stepner joining us here from WMAR. Make sure you're following him out at Stepner MAR. It's Stepner WMAR, correct? Give me your Twitter so I get it right.
That's right.
Stepner WMAR.
S-T-E-P-N-E-R-W-M-A-R. That's right.
I've told you, same last name as Mike's girlfriend, but that's a long story. That was the last century. You can find me this Friday with the Mayor of Baltimore on the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. We will be at Coco's in Lauraville. Come on down, get a crab cake with Marcella. She was closed for a while. She's back open. The legendary crab cake in the city. It's all powered up by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. Let yourself play. Luke is in Owings Mills. All of that's brought to you by our friends at Royal Farms. Real fresh, real fast. If there's any breaking news, you get that first on the WNST tech service. All brought to you by our friends at Coons Ford, Security Boulevard. And Dennis will be here on Thursday from 3 until 5, driving you home, getting you ready for Sunday. Even though the kickoff's on Monday, gives me another Sunday to sit around and watch football all day and probably go jam with Marcus King over at the soundstage. Get vaccinated. I'm Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.